Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, our friend Brian Baldinger was on the morning roast today. They were talking about Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa has had a season where he was so easy to find, it'll probably end up with him being named a near unanimous defensive player of the year, if not the unanimous defensive player of the year. You could make an argument maybe for Micah Parsons. Beyond that, I don't know who else you'd have a really good argument for. And I think that Nick Bosa is going to carry the day. I think he will be defensive player of the year. He has not been a huge impact so far in the postseason. Brian Baldinger was talking about, as he checks the tape, looking at a player who is wearing down, slowing down. Have the snaps caught up with Nick Bosa this year?
I don't know if he's wearing down. I don't know. But he wasn't great. He's got a different rush. I think Lane Johnson knows this. I think the Eagles know this. But he's different on the right side than he is on the left side. Mm-hmm. On the right side, it's almost always speed to power. On the right side, he's almost like his brother. It's like a two-hand swipe, and he's flipping his hips, and he's turning a corner. So I feel like you got to know Nick right side versus left side, and what you're going to get from either side. And I'm sure the Eagles are studying that, you know, and getting ready for it. Lane Johnson is battling through a torn abdomen muscle right now. Played the whole game the other day. You know, he's challenged a little bit. I think the 49ers know all about it, but be interesting to see how he handles power. He didn't get that from Kayvon Thibodeau on Sunday.
Nick Bosa, again, as we were saying last hour, he needs to have a game that needs no interpretation. He needs one of those games where you're saying, man, he is just right there in that backfield all afternoon. He is making tackles for losses. He's putting pressure. He is making Jalen Hurts uncomfortable. He is stuffing that run 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And if Nick Bosa isn't doing that, he's clearly getting double teamed. And now all of a sudden it's Eric Armstead eating and Charles Omenihue, if he is allowed to play, because as we were saying earlier, Charles Omenihue officially very much screwed up. The only bit of news that we have about the 49ers is that he posted bail after a misdemeanor domestic violence charge. And just, you know, if you are D'Amico Ryans, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you just got to be so disappointed in him. Like 6 days, 6 days before the NFC title game, this is what you give us to work with, Charles? Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you for a lot of reasons, but shame on you from just a, you know, every team in football is looking to make sure there are no distractions this week and then doubly going into the Super Bowl. How good are the 49ers going to feel about showing up to the Super Bowl with questions about a domestic violence charge?
That's irrelevant. It's the fact that he either did this or didn't do it and couldn't control couldn't control his temper at a time when, you know, things should be fine. There shouldn't be that sort of inability to control yourself. You know, whatever happens to him, good or bad, will be deserved. You know, by my standard, if he did this enough to get arrested, it's a sign that he's got things to work on. Football aside, but if he can't play, the 49ers will cope with it because that's what you do. It's, you know, in their world, it's like an injury. If you're not there to play, then somebody else has to play.
Well, and again, Drake Jackson might be that next guy up, in which case, Lucas, fight on. We got our pal Nick Friedell joining us in about 15 minutes. And for the only time today, other than to tell you that Scott Rolen is a one-man Hall of Fame class all by himself, he gets to go into Cooperstown. It'll be our only discussion point other than 49ers and Eagles, because when we got Nick Friedell in here. We got some NBA to talk about. And there's certainly an awful lot of NBA to talk about. There is someone here on the YouTube chat asking, like, hey, Damon, what day this week are you going to have your Steve Kerr interview? With, he says, the ball-washing interview. Should we just grill Steve Kerr? Is that what we should we teach Steve Kerr a lesson with the type of interview that what should we ask him the sort of questions that he won't be able to answer because he's not the team's GM? Should we ask Steve Kerr all about the massive failure he's been when he's singularly the most successful coach in the history of Bay Area sports? Should we do that? Should we crucify Steve, who has been nothing other than an A-class representative, a first-class coach, and the most winningest thing to ever happen to this frickin' organization? Is that the guy you want us to crucify? Like, a lot of you are real tough when you're asking us to be tougher on someone whose success is so overwhelming. What are we supposed to do with Steve when we talk to him this week?
You know what?
Just grill him?
If you could point to me where he has failed, I'm willing to go there. I'm fine with that. But it's not like he hasn't banged on this on the head over and over again. We have to defend better. And they don't defend better. They're profoundly inconsistent. They're not good at the ends of games, and they used to be. The two track timeline has not worked. I mean, and that's a Bob Myers thing too.
Wait a minute. The two track timeline hasn't worked? In the first year they ran the two-track timeline, they're NBA champions.
I'm talking about this year. As they continue, they wanted to make it better, and
so something was working, and now kind of is.
Well, that's my point. It's just, you know, did Steve Kerr suddenly throw spokes in this and ruin it? No. At some point, the players are responsible for the performance of the players. And it's not like they don't know that you have to defend every night. And it's not like they don't know that you don't take 53s. It's not like they don't know how to move the basketball, because they've done it before. To me, this is not a coaching issue. This is a playing issue.
This is,
and to a certain extent, it's a roster construction issue. But I, you know, the fact is, when a team's not doing well, it's the coach's fault. That's always the default for fans. It's the Warriors are a 500 team. Steve Kerr's a moron. Okay, fine. Why don't you come in and ask the questions, genius?
Draymond Green.
You know, it starts on the defensive end. And we're playing good defensively in stretches. You want to win, you got to play good defensively for 48 minutes. You're not doing that.
No, they're not. The Golden State Warriors are not a good team defensively this year, all year, almost every game that they've played, but for four or five games. And you could say, well, that's Steve. But you'd be wrong. Because what more can he do than give them a game plan that he's been handing to them for years, which is hung banners at Shea Center. And
that they've usually followed more consistently. They've played stretches in nearly every game where they've defended well. But you can't give up 120 as many times as they have and lost the foul differential as many times as they've had. Because it's not the turnovers. Everybody likes to talk about, oh, they turn the ball over too much. They were turning the ball over too much when they were winning championships.
You know, I mean, what
they were among the league leaders in turnovers the year they won 73 games. It's about the other end of the floor.
I mean, what are we talking about? Steve, is too much carrot, not enough stick? Too friendly, not enough whip hand?
I don't know.
Is that the complaint?
He uses playing time. It's the only weapon a coach has. He can't suspend guys or fine them. This isn't the 50s. When they don't play well, they don't play.
I mean, to me, the one place where maybe Steve has miscalculated this year is that when you're losing all these games anyways, and you don't really see this until the hindsight that, you know, is always 20/20. But it would have been great to have more young guys playing in games that were given away anyways to get them ready to start playing some games that matter. But they were trying to win those games in the moment, so
they were trying to win those games, and to a certain extent, most of those young guys were part of the reason why they weren't playing well, because their starting lineup was doing fine. It was their second unit that wasn't good. So what are you going to do? You're going to reward guys who haven't been doing the stuff you want them to do by giving them more time? you know, this season is not yet gone. You don't sit there and throw up your hands after 50 games when you're in a playoff, when you're at least in a play-in spot. It's nuts. You know, I mean, just, I'm fine with people picking on the coach. He gets paid, you know, suck it up. But give us the reason. And not playing the young guys enough is not a reason. That's what you worry about in 2025. This is 2023, and you're not closing the window on a guy like Stephen Curry or a guy like Draymond Green or a guy like Klay Thompson. They've earned their way to go out while they can, while they're still effective, and they're very effective.
The same turkeys who are saying, you got to give a tougher interview to Steve Kerr, were saying the same things last year before they became NBA champions again.
Well, yeah.
And there is still a lot of basketball to be played. There's 35
games. They're the ones who thought Kyle Shanahan should be fired.
Right, right.
About 100 different times. They only know what they know, and that's why you shouldn't be reading the screen. Just put a coat over it.
I like to involve the people since, by the way, the internet tough guy never picks up the phone to call the show. Keyboard cowards.
I don't want to hear from them.
Oh, it'd be great to be able to dunk on these morons.
It's backing over a dead squirrel.
We have our man Nick Friedel. Is he in studio already? Is the man walking around? Is he signing autographs? Kissing babies? Making friends, influencing powerful people.
He'd have to be able to write.
Oh, he can write. He can write. He can talk. He can talk into a camera. He can talk into a microphone, and he's going to do that next. Our good pal, Nick Friedel, will be in here to tell you that Steve Kerr is probably really good at his job and isn't solely responsible for what's been a frustrating season so far for the Golden State Warriors.
I don't know. He's been ripping him behind his back for years.
We got so much still coming up today. Our pal Nick Friedel joins us next. If you want to know more about the NBA, you stay right here because Nick knows an awful lot about this league. Don't you go anywhere. We're brought to you, Damon and Ratto, by CalHope.org.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
The Road to Glendale is brought to you by the SF Sheriff Office. Your future begins here. Visit sfsheriff.com and apply today. And our man Nick Friedel joins us in studio, but we have to officially let everyone know, since they bought the guest line, or rented it for the week or two anyways, that the Bud Light guest line means that Nick Friedel has drank a Bud Light or two in his days. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy, as is a visit in studio from our old friend Nick Friedel, king of ESPN East Coast Media now. It's good to have you here, Nick. And you were just telling us you miss the Bay. Fits you well. You miss it here.
I miss the sunshine. I miss walking around, going to Warriors practice. Oh, hey, what's up, Steph Curry? How's it going, Steve Kerr? Guys, I cannot stress to the Bay Area enough. The accessibility around that Warriors team is unlike anything else in the league.
And isn't it odd, too? Because normally the more success a franchise has, the less access anyone gets. And it's almost the opposite.
It completely is. And I give a huge amount of credit to my old friend Raymond Ritter. He's been there forever. He sets the tone. And they are trying to sell a product. And the Warriors go about their business unlike any other team in the league. Because if you want to talk to somebody for what we do, for a story, for a conversation down the line, for the most part, having lived it for 3.5 years and then being back down there today, they're accessible. NBA teams, on the whole, are not accessible. And no matter what you think of what's going on the floor right now, and I know they've been struggling, I think that all fans should appreciate that you get to know who these people are in a lot of different levels, the likes of which doesn't happen across the league.
Well, since you brought it up, what's the perception of this Warrior team nationally?
They feel kind of broken, Ray. And it's weird to think that given they just won the title, everything was so good. But the three of us have talked about this for a few months now. I watched that game the other night when the Nets came back and won. You talked to enough people around the building the last few days. When that Draymond punch hit, it just messed up the rhythm of a team that has been so unified in these last couple of years and especially last season. And there are a lot of reasons why the bench isn't the same. They miss the veterans, Otto Porter, Gary Payton II, on and on. But that punch, it
still lingers.
It absolutely lingers. And having covered the group, hell, back into the second half of last season almost, I know firsthand how respected and loved Draymond was. And it's not that he's suddenly not respected. It's just that
things are different.
Things are different. And they don't just change overnight after something like that.
Well, I really think that when we start to get the truth out of the franchise 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
people will come back to that as the moment where it was the beginning of the end. And I'm not saying it's over, but it's the beginning of the end. You know, somebody here on our text line on the YouTube page is saying, you know, Damon, you used to accuse the West Coast media of being so soft. You give Steve Kerr a soft interview. What am I supposed to accuse Steve of? What would be the hard question that I haven't asked Steve Kerr that would even, like, where are we deficient in his criticism? Because to me, this is bigger than any lever he can pull as a coach. You got a team that maybe doesn't trust each other like it used to, that isn't built as well as it used to be, and that's a GM conversation more than a head coach conversation. And, you know, we know what the problem is. It's not getting enough rebounds and playing enough defense. Where's Steve supposed to come down on that other than I've asked my team to do that and they just aren't doing it?
And I've asked the front office to change up the pieces maybe, and we'll see what happens at the trade deadline, but I think it all ties into if fans are saying that to you, Damon, and if fans are upset about what's going on, as is their right, just remember last season.
Right.
That is the bonus title. That title was never supposed to happen a year ago. It is a credit to all the guys in that room, the coaching staff, ownership, all of that, and especially Steph Curry. But that title, when people get really pissed off about this season, they should go back and say, hey, they won last year. They were never supposed to get that fourth ring in that moment, and everything came together, and Steph carried them through at the end in Boston, and it was awesome. And now it sure seems like there's a hangover from last year still now, but if fans are upset, and I know it's been frustrating to watch, I was shocked just sitting up there the other night watching them just fold against a Kevin Durant-less Nets team down the stretch in the fourth quarter. But again, this is where I get reminded. They've lost all their games to the Magic. They've lost all their games to the Pistons. This is what happens with a mediocre team, but you're just not used to seeing it with supreme talents, especially like Steph Curry.
Is there anything then to draw from the fact that at the beginning of the year, the Nets were a hot mess, among a history of hot messes, and now it seems like they've fixed almost all of their internal problems? A, how did that happen? And B, is there a lesson to be applied here from that situation?
Let's take the second part first, Ray, in that, yeah, if you have Steph on your team, I think it's still possible to fix things because he is that gifted and he's that respected in the room. Everybody loves Steph. He delivers on the floor. I think he's capable of unifying what sure seems to be still a fractured group. Draymond, when he wants to play, is still one of the very best defenders that we've seen. Klay, as we all figured, is coming out of the second year looking a little bit better night to night than what we saw in that first year when he was coming back and fighting through all the rust. So I do think there's still hope. If you're using the Nets, though, as that mirror and that possibility of, all right, well, it worked in Brooklyn, so why can't it work here? The thing I would tell you, Ray, is why did it get fixed? It was that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving looked in the mirror and said, hey, we got to be better. We have got to just stop all the excuses that are going on off the floor, and we've got to play up to the level we're capable of on it. And they have. Prior to that injury, guys, a couple weeks ago when Kevin got hurt in Miami, to me, he was the MVP, or he was at the very, very top of the conversation with Jokic. Now that he's hurt, Kyrie looks like a guy who's playing for that next contract. He's been awesome since he came back from the suspension. He's not saying or doing things that take the focus off the team, as was the case earlier in the season. But, Ray, the answer is they focused on each other, and they focused on themselves. And when you have players that are that gifted playing the game, things are still possible to turn around, and that's why any team with Steph Curry always has a chance to get things back on track.
Our pal Nick Verdell in studio with us here on 95.7 The Game. Are the Warriors arrogant, thinking that they've got the team that will eventually find the switch on the wall, the flip the switch, and now, oh my God, here we go? I don't think they got that necessarily. I don't think they are capable of flipping the switch. So that means, you know, with a trade deadline coming, what is a move that you see? Because I'm guessing you are very much in the stick and stay with what you got. You're probably not going very far this year.
100%. I think if you're the Warriors and you have Steph in this moment in time in his career, Damon, you probably do look harder at making a move. But I couldn't tell you right now, if we looked at the group of names that are possible, who is going to come in and everything's going to change for them.
Alex Caruso would be a great piece. He is not the difference between who they are and an NBA championship.
100%. It's perfectly said. He would fit very well here. I saw that video like everybody else of Kerr talking to him after the game. He fits the style of what they want and, frankly, what they need right now. He is not taking you from one point to another. I would flash back to when the three of us were in here 2-3 years ago talking about Bradley Beal. And everybody went, all right, Bradley Beal is a hell of a player. Is Bradley Beal giving up what you would have to get him going to take you to a different point? If it's me, while you look hard at making a move, and maybe they do, I don't think there is a guy out there that changes the tenor of everything the way they would need it. But, Damon, the question is really important given where the Warriors are in the season. Are they arrogant enough to think they can hit the switch? The answer is yes. Do I think they can pull it off? No. Because historically, any team that kind of fights through the malaise over the course of an 82-game season, when it's time to hit the switch, they're not ready to do it. The only time that I have seen a team that I thought could actually pull it off was the first year I was here in Oakland, the last Kevin Durant year, because that team was just tired of everything. They were tired of the spotlight and the pressure that came after winning those two titles, but they were so damn talented that they probably still could have, but we know what happened. Kevin was hurt.
Achilles popped, ACL's torn.
Bingo, and it was over, just like that. So again, having said all that, everybody who is listening to us right now, enjoy the bonus title. Enjoy. Go pop on the DVD last year and walk through all those games where they made it happen. It's not to say it can't happen, because Damon, that part is absolutely still a part of this Warriors story. It's not that it's over, but you need to enjoy the moments when you got them, and that moment last year was really, really impressive.
So they've had 3 months to figure this out. and they haven't yet. If it's a cultural issue, and Stephen Curry hasn't been able to fix this yet through the force of his will, is it reasonable to assume that it's not going to get fixed? And if it's just a physical issue, what's the thing that you can point to above all others that says this is why you're 24 and 24 and not 32 and 16?
Culturally, Ray, if we were betting, I would bet that, yeah, that is it going to get, because the question is it going to get fixed to a point where you think they can win a title again this year? And my answer right now would be no. As great as Steph is and as wonderful of a leader as he is, it just seems like there are too many issues internally to overcome to think that they're going to put it all together in the second half, get on a run they need in the postseason, and start rolling. Physically, when you look at this team, it just seems like the pieces that they have in place don't fit the same way. And anybody who's watched them, and you guys watch it every single day, that's how it comes across to me. Everybody thought Moses Moody was going to be that solid, turn into the solid veteran who could give you 15 or 20 every time. And Damon, he was. There were times last year in that postseason run, he was. He's just not right now. He's not getting consistent minutes. He doesn't look like the same player. Kuminga shows you flashes, and you think, okay, maybe. But he hasn't fit in that same role that they've needed him to. DiVincenzo certainly has played pretty well, but he's just not playing at the level that we saw with some of those guys last season. So, Ray, as far as the fit goes, this is all pointing towards make a move, sacrifice some of what's going on. I know Tim Kawakami wrote about this the other day, but if I'm the Warriors and I'm sitting there with Steph, Clay, Draymond, and I throw Andre and Kevon Looney into the conversation, guys, what do you want to do? And they say make a move. Nobody's getting any younger. So if you really want to go for it, sacrifice whatever's going to happen and see where it goes from there.
Well, and how much of a sacrifice would it really even be if you're trading a piece that wasn't giving you much in the first place? And exactly. That brings me to our favorite topic around here, James Wiseman.
Oh, boy.
Look, he still has promise. There's no doubt. You know, a young man, a young big, takes a while in the league, physically as gifted an NBA player as you can find in the NBA. He makes NBA bigs look little. That's how much of a specimen he is. But does he have value? He's got promise. But does he have a trade value?
I don't believe so. Not that high of one. How could you? He's got knee issues. He's got, looks like, confidence issues dating back to the very beginning.
Stone hands.
That's another problem. But I remember being on those Zooms with Steve Kerr back in that first year. Like, Steve, do you think it's an issue that he's walking to the bench and once he had a mistake or two, his shoulders are slumped?
Dobber down.
He's going, oh, no. And Steve would push. I mean, that was as hard as he would push back about it, pretty much anything that year. No. You know, things are going to be fine. James is going through it. He's a younger player. He just hadn't improved that much. So, Damon, if you're another team and you're seeing all these flaws that have already popped up, it's not that he has no value, because I've seen weirder things happen with trades in this league, but how could you feel good about getting back whatever it was if you were to go in that direction and make some move somewhere?
Let me ask the unthinkable then. If you need to make the splashy midseason trade to take care of the physical shortcomings this team has, is it beyond the realm of possibility that they would consider trading Jordan Poole to get a package?
I don't think I would do it. Is it beyond the realm? At this point, with the structure that's in place with this core, I would bring everybody in the room and say, what do you think?
Can they even trade him in the first year of his signed extension?
We need Bobby Marks to answer that.
Don't even know if they can. But, you know, it's also hamstrung them, too. They have no second-round picks to give up. They don't have a first or second next year.
There just aren't a lot of valuable assets, which is crazy because, again, we were sitting here a year ago going, oh, man, Kuminga. Oh man, what would a team give up for Kuminga or Moody? Or, well, Wiseman is coming along. Let's see what he looks like when he does return. But Ray, Poole feels like that guy, once they gave him that deal, who is going to be the next cornerstone for the group. If they continue to struggle, they've got to ask what else is out there. But this Warriors team continues to be one of the most fascinating to me, because to think that the core will be in place, and Steph is going to be here until the, you know, the last day.
Career Warrior.
Exactly, the whole way. But to think that, you know, Draymond's future is secure, I mean, nobody could predict that. Nobody knows what's going to happen there.
It sounds like he believes this is probably his last go-around with the team.
He's feeling, when you listen to what he's saying, and you're trying to read between the lines, he's feeling and sounding like a guy, Damon, who knows, this could end sooner than I thought it would.
I got to ask you, because we could just sit around and talk about what's working, what's not working with the Warriors, but you do have a courtside seat to a team that is frustrating and fascinating all at the same time. Let's just start with, because I think we got a pretty good handle on who Kevin Durant is. He is this mercurial, basketball-only interesting topic in his life. Never going to be really happy with anything he's accomplishing or hasn't. He's just never going to be happy. He's got never going to be happy written all over him, but maybe he'll spend enough time on a basketball court that day to where most of his day was on a basketball court. Therefore, he's as happy as he's going to get. Is there anything normal about Kyrie Irving? Now that the toxicity around him has died down, he isn't trying to light the world on fire with every point he makes about the shape of the globe or religion. He's not just stepping from one hot button topic to another. What is he like? Is there anything about him that is normal, could grab a beer and have a conversation that didn't make you think this guy is just, you know, my grandmother had a great saying, if you're poor, you're crazy, but if you're rich, you're eccentric. Is he just eccentric and that's all there is to it?
He is the most unique character in the sports realm that I've come across in my career, in that every day with Kyrie is a new day. Do I think that we could sit down and he would sit and have a beer and talk? Absolutely. Damon, absolutely.
Like, and he said, the weird thing is he's pretty smart, interesting, seems like he's got a sense of humor. He doesn't use any of that to foster goodwill with anyone.
And I'd say the biggest part of that, having been around him now a year, and we had that back and forth that people saw a few months ago, that was still so strange, but Kyrie doesn't want to feel like anybody is forcing him to do anything at all.
Even answering this question.
Exactly. It doesn't even matter. He does not want to feel pushed into doing anything that he doesn't see a need to do. In that regard, what I would say is he's one of the most talented basketball players I've ever seen offensively as a guard in my entire life. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's an incredible talent. The biggest misconception that I've seen in this year covering this team and covering him, his teammates love him. They love him. James Harden did not. And James Harden was sick of the fact that he didn't get the vaccination shot and all the hoopla that surrounded that. These guys on this team, the younger guys especially, love Kyrie Irving. So anybody who says, oh man, Kyrie's screwing everything up, and how could these guys trust him? I am telling you, I am in there every single day. Not only is Kyrie beloved internally by his teammates, I think the front office, ownership, I think everybody is kind of like, what the hell is going to happen today? Around the league, on the whole, Kyrie Irving is one of the most respected and appreciated players by other players in the game. So there are a lot of layers to his story, but anybody who thinks that, oh, Kyrie, he's just saying stuff and he's doing stuff that's wrecking everything going on with that group, I am telling you that that team really does love Kyrie, which is crazy to think about given all the things that have happened around them for the last few seasons.
How did Jock Vaughn make all this happen, or did he make it happen? Was this more a function of Durant and Irving finally staring into the abyss and seeing their reflections and going, we have to be less us? Or did Jock Vaughn figure out the way to talk to both of them so that the focus was basketball rather than the shape of the planet or the evils of media or medicine, any of the other things that they like to jump up and down about?
Ray, the biggest key is the first part in Kyrie and KD looking at themselves and each other saying, hey, we can do better. That is where the story of the Nets turnaround starts. Jacques Vaughn deserves credit. I think Nash's voice had worn thin. He just wasn't getting through the same way. I'd also tell you that I think he was so completely exhausted dealing with all the other stuff that was going on that wasn't basketball, that this was one of those rare times where you saw, all right, well, this is a mutual parting of the ways. I think Steve Nash is sitting there going, oh, my gosh. I'm away. Like, get me away from everything that's happening. But as far as Vaughn goes, he is coaching them day to day, it seems, a little more intensely in his messaging than Nash did. He has cut practices. They rarely practice. They hardly ever shoot around. He wants them to focus on that day. In other words, you come to the gym, you play 30 or 35 minutes. Give me the best 30 or 35 minutes you got, and that's all we'll worry about for another couple days until the next one. In the messaging, I think, is the difference in how he comes across, especially to his two stars, compared to how Nash did.
We've got Peter King coming up at 5 o'clock, and we're going to get right back into the fact that the 49ers are in the NFC title game, by the way, Nick. I don't know if you noticed that or not. So we've got Peter King at 5 o'clock, but could you stick around for one more?
Absolutely.
Just a little small segment, because
no problem.
I want you to handicap what the Grizzlies, the Nuggets, how you think the West is going to shake out. And I also got a Ben Simmons question for you, so don't you go anywhere. Our good friend Nick Friedell for just a few more minutes before we get to Peter King at 5 o'clock. Here on 95.7 The Game, we are brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, we wouldn't just play the theme song if he wasn't actually here. Nick Friedell with us for a little bit more. Peter King live at 5 today. The Road to Glendale brought to you by Merriwest Credit Union. Working for you today, tomorrow, and together. Peter King live at 5 on the Bud Light guest line. In the meantime, in the Bud Light guest chair, I've come up with a new sponsorship just for you, Nick, since you're in studio. For a few more minutes with us, I want you to give us a quick thumbnail sketch of the West as you see it right now, because it looks like Denver's got talent to run away and hide. Memphis, who is here tomorrow's got that level of talent and hunger. We'll see what the Pelicans look like when they get healthy again. After that, it feels like a 4-5 seeds are officially up for grabs. Maybe the Lakers even have something to say about that, which is sort of insane, but that's where we are now, because the entire NBA voted on, mediocrity till about the All-Star break, and then we're going to start trying here. So what do you think of this conference?
If I'm a Warriors fan, going back to the first part of our conversation, Damon, there's nobody in that group that scares the hell out of me. Nobody. I think Denver, with a healthy Jokic and Murray, they are really, really good. I would not want to play in the elevation in a playoff series against them. Memphis is really good, but they're still young and they haven't proven anything yet on a really big stage.
Dallas,
yeah. It's like Luka and friends.
Right.
Other than that, if you're a Warriors fan, that's why you have hope. It's not just, hey, well, we have Steph and we have the championship DNA and we know what to do. None of those teams, as you look at the standings, do you look at and go, oh man, don't want to face them, can't see them. So if we're betting right now who would come through, I'd probably say Denver much later on, but that's another team. What have they really done that makes you think, oh yeah, you know, they'll make it all the way? It's why there's still hope for the turnaround, even if it seems unlikely right now in the moment for Golden State.
Does the fact that neither of you mentioned Sacramento mean that either you don't understand basketball or you both hate the Kings?
Light the beam, Ray. Light the beam.
I will light a beam later.
No, hey, nobody likes Kings more than my man Slater. He's living down at those Kings games now all the time. I think he's enjoying the fact that the Kings are more relevant. But when I watch them, I respect the hell out of Mike Brown. He has done an unbelievable job changing.
He can be a coach of the year candidate.
If Mike Brown takes, and I saw this today on Twitter, if he gets them in the postseason, Mike Brown's the guy. I mean, Jacques Vaughn's going to get some votes, especially if they keep going. Right. We'll see.
That's KD, though.
Bingo. Mike Brown's the coach of the year if he gets them into it. But no, I don't believe in Sacramento, Ray, for anything more than a nice story because they don't play defense. Zion is the trump card in all this. What does he do when he's healthy? Can he stay healthy for the entirety of the postseason? We'll see. But to me, it's Denver, Memphis, and Steph and company if and when they finally get things together in the second half.
Let me ask you this, though, because you just said two things. Mike Brown will be the coach of the year, and Sacramento doesn't play any defense. Mike Brown was was the defensive guru here. How is it, other than the obvious, they just run and shoot all the time, how is it that they are able to win while not playing defense for a guy who believes in defense?
Welcome to the new era of the NBA is probably the best answer I could give you right now. Defense is not nearly at a premium like it once was back in time. People just don't care. It takes more effort. It's a lot of fun to run up and down the floor, and Milwaukee scoring 150 points. and like, you look at these scores, I think, as a fan, as a journalist, and as a fan, I don't even like the way the game is going right now, because when you're watching these games, and I see it night to night in Brooklyn, okay, you run up down the floor, you take a three. All right, we'll run down the floor and we'll take a three. And whoever has the most points, maybe we'll play some defense at the end of the fourth quarter. It feels more and more night to night like an all-star game.
Well, a 40-point performance, there needs to be like a currency exchange rate on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a curve that needs to go in there. But, Ray, the point on Mike is that's the NBA. The Kings narrative is really good. Mike's always been a hell of a coach. In fact, you guys know. I'm sure you've talked about it a lot. Mike Brown leaving Golden State has a direct impact on why the defense hasn't been the way it's needed to be this season for a team that's trying to defend its title. So why they're not playing defense right now, I don't know. But if you're betting on Mike Brown being able to figure that out over time, that's a bet I'd take in a heartbeat, because Mike knows what the hell he's doing, and he's got those guys believing that they can win. It's just differently than the way we thought they could win going into the season.
Miles Turner, OG Anunoby. I mean, I don't know who really wants to come off any athletic 3-and-D wing guy right now. It feels like the Warriors could use another one of those and or a big. Is there a trade? Is there a trade that not puts the Warriors back into the driver's seat, but at least makes them a more competent basketball team? Where is it?
I'm sure there is one. I like the Caruso thing, especially because the Bulls are not very good. But what are you giving up? I mean, this is why Bob Myers is who he is and has made the imprint on the organization that he has. This is why the front office has earned so much respect across the league. You think there's a deal out there, you want to give up one of those young pieces, go for it. What I would tell you is, Damon, what you've been saying all along, which is, hey, we go through the names. There's some good names. Am I willing to part with some of my young core and future for one of those names, knowing that this team just doesn't have the same feel that last year's team does? I'm not, but let's see what Steph Curry says when push comes to shove.
In the East, if you're healthy, you're probably the second best team. If you're not healthy, is it Boston and a runaway? Are they that much better than everybody else? Or are you starting to see something in Philly that makes you think they could make it a two or three horse race?
I think it's Boston and then it's Milwaukee. But I don't think the gap is that wide, Ray. That's the series, if everybody's healthy, that I see. Philly, I'll never buy because I don't believe in Harden as that top-tier 1A guy anymore. I saw it most of last season in Brooklyn. He's just not the same player. There are moments where he looks like his old self. There are other moments where he looks completely checked out, and he's going to get you 10 points a game. Embiid is that good. He can absolutely win you a series or two, but in the end, it's Boston, Milwaukee, and everyone else if they're healthy.
Ben Simmons, anything normal about him?
Ben Simmons believes still that he is the player that we saw for so long in Philly, Damon. He's not that player anymore. Can he get back to being that guy? I wouldn't bet on it. But when you show that type of talent, I guess it's always within you to find it again. There are way too many times when you watch Ben Simmons' tenure as a Net where he has little to no impact on the game. It's going to get worse going into March and April and into the postseason because they're not going to be able to play him in the games because he wants no part of going to the free throw line. Honestly, guys, it's sad to watch a player who showed as much talent as Simmons did to come back down to a level where he's at now. You watch him and you shake your head because he's not looking at the rim. I think this is another case study of there is much more than what meets the eye than what you see in a basketball game. Something is going on there, and you'd hope he's still 25, 26 years old. He's got time to figure it out, but he is not close to the same player, and the Nets are going to pay the price for that and making that deal in the next couple years because he's still under contract for two more years after this one.
Our pal Nick Ferdell, did you pass along the note to the cameraman to get the thing shoot you down a little bit more? Because I'm seeing better camera angles on you from sidelines. I am.
I've been going into that studio all the time, and I'm telling them just keep it chest up, keep that camera up. I'm doing the best I can not to eat cheeseburgers at 2 a.m. It's amazing what can happen when you do that.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
Great to see you, man. Thanks for coming on in. We miss you out here. You're doing a hell of a job for ESPN. They're lucky to have you. Maybe we're lucky to get you back someday.
I miss you guys, too, and I can't wait to see you in a few more months.
Niners, Eagles, got a prediction?
It's got to be the Niners. Come on now.
There it is. He knows where his bread is. He knows where his bread is.
It's got to be the Niners.
Get out. Yeah, he's going to do a Philadelphia radio hit tomorrow and be like, let me tell you about these Eagles. These birds, I love them.
Yeah, he's a known hypocrite from way back.
Uh-huh.
Tell Kate Scott we said hello when you get out there.
You got it.
There he is. Our man Nick Ferdell here on 95.7 The Game. One of the best. Oh, could you ask Nick real quick, how tall is Kyrie really? He's listed at 6'2". There's no chance.
He's like 5'10".
There you go. Maybe he's got lifts in his
Breaking
shoes.
News. That's huge.
5'10", man. That's a generous, generous media guy going up to 6'2". Thanks so much to our good friend Nick Ferdell joining us here on 95.7 The Game in studio. Ray, wave goodbye.
Oh, I'll wave goodbye. You just won't get full cooperation from my hand.
Not all digits. The one digit goodbye. The one digit goodbye. There he is. The best laugh in sports talk radio. Nick Ferdell. Sounds a little bit like a villain on his way out. But that's why we like him.
Oh, he sounds like a drunken Santa.
It is tough to look at the Warriors and say, what's the one move? What's the one move they could make? And I guess, here, you want the tough question for Steve Kerr? I think I've come up with it. When we do have him on this week, I think the question is, hey.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, we wouldn't just play the theme song if he wasn't actually here. Nick Friedell with us for a little bit more. Peter King live at 5 today. The Road to Glendale brought to you by Merriwest Credit Union. Working for you today, tomorrow, and together. Peter King live at 5 on the Bud Light guest line. In the meantime, in the Bud Light guest chair, I've come up with a new sponsorship just for you, Nick, since you're in studio. For a few more minutes with us, I want you to give us a quick thumbnail sketch of the West as you see it right now, because it looks like Denver's got talent to run away and hide. Memphis, who is here tomorrow's got that level of talent and hunger. We'll see what the Pelicans look like when they get healthy again. After that, it feels like a 4-5 seeds are officially up for grabs. Maybe the Lakers even have something to say about that, which is sort of insane, but that's where we are now, because the entire NBA voted on, mediocrity till about the All-Star break, and then we're going to start trying here. So what do you think of this conference?
If I'm a Warriors fan, going back to the first part of our conversation, Damon, there's nobody in that group that scares the hell out of me. Nobody. I think Denver, with a healthy Jokic and Murray, they are really, really good. I would not want to play in the elevation in a playoff series against them. Memphis is really good, but they're still young and they haven't proven anything yet on a really big stage.
Dallas,
yeah. It's like Luka and friends.
Right.
Other than that if you're a Warriors fan, that's why you have hope. It's not just, hey, well, we have Steph and we have the championship DNA and we know what to do. None of those teams, as you look at the standings, do you look at and go, oh man, don't want to face them. Can't see them. So if we're betting right now who would come through, I'd probably say Denver much later on, but that's another team. What have they really done that makes you think, oh yeah, you know, they'll make it all the way? It's why there's still hope for the turnaround, even if it seems unlikely right now in the moment for Golden State.
Does the fact that neither of you mentioned Sacramento mean that either you don't understand basketball or you both hate the Kings?
Light the beam, Ray. Light the beam.
I will light a beam later.
No, hey, nobody likes Kings more than my man Slater. He's living down at those Kings games now all the time. I think he's enjoying the fact that the Kings are more relevant, but when I watch them, I respect the hell out of Mike Brown. He has done an unbelievable job changing.
He's going to be a coach of the year candidate.
If Mike Brown takes, and I saw this today on Twitter, if he gets them in the postseason, Mike Brown's the guy. I mean, Jacques Vaughn's going to get some votes, especially if they keep going. Right. We'll see.
That's KD, though.
Bingo. Mike Brown's the coach of the year if he gets them into it. But no, I don't believe in Sacramento, Ray, for anything more than a nice story, because they don't play defense. Zion is the trump card in all this. What does he do when he's healthy? Can he stay healthy for the entirety of the postseason? We'll see. But to me, it's Denver, Memphis, and Steph and company if and when they finally get things together in the second half.
Let me ask you this, though, because you just said two things. Mike Brown will be the coach of the year, and Sacramento doesn't play any defense. Mike Brown was the defensive guru here. How is it, other than the obvious, they just run and shoot all the time, how is it that they are able to win while not playing defense for a guy who believes in defense?
Welcome to the new era of the NBA is probably the best answer I could give you right now. Defense is not nearly at a premium like it once was back in time. People just don't care. It takes more effort. It's a lot of fun to run up and down the floor, and Milwaukee scoring 150 points. and like, you look at these scores, I think as a fan, as a journalist and as a fan, I don't even like the way the game is going right now, because when you're watching these games, and I see it night to night in Brooklyn, okay, you run up the down the floor, you take a three. All right, we'll run down the floor and we'll take a three. And whoever has the most points, maybe we'll play some defense at the end of the fourth quarter. It feels more and more night to night like an all-star game.
Well, a 40-point performance, there needs to be like a currency exchange rate on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a curve that needs to go in there. But, Ray, the point on Mike is that's the NBA. The Kings narrative is really good. Mike's always been a hell of a coach. In fact, you guys know, I'm sure you've talked about it a lot. Mike Brown leaving Golden State has a direct impact on why the defense hasn't been the way it's needed to be this season for a team that's trying to defend its title. So why they're not playing defense right now, I don't know. But if you're betting on Mike Brown being able to figure that out over time, that's a bet I'd take in a heartbeat, because Mike knows what the hell he's doing and he's got those guys believing that they can win. It's just differently than the way we thought they could win going into the season.
Miles Turner, OG Anunoby. I mean, I don't know who really wants to come off any athletic 3-and-D wing guy right now. It feels like the Warriors could use another one of those and or a big. Is there a trade? Is there a trade that not puts the Warriors back into the driver's seat, but at least makes them a more competent basketball team? Where is it?
I'm sure there is one. I like the Caruso thing, especially because the Bulls are just right. Not very good. But what are you giving up? I mean, this is why Bob Myers is who he is and has made the imprint on the organization that he has. This is why the front office has earned so much respect across the league. You think there's a deal out there? You want to give up one of those young pieces? Go for it. What I would tell you is, Damon, what you've been saying all along, which is, hey, we go through the names. There's some good names. Am I willing to part with some of my young core and future for one of those names, knowing that this team just doesn't have the same feel that last year's team does? I'm not, but let's see what Steph Curry says when push comes to shove.
In the East, if you're healthy, you're probably the second best team. If you're not healthy, is it Boston and a runaway? Are they that much better than everybody else? Or are you starting to see something in Philly that makes you think they could make it a 2 or 3 horse race?
I think it's Boston and then it's Milwaukee. But I don't think the gap is that wide, Ray. That's the series, if everybody's healthy, that I see. Philly, I'll never buy because I don't believe in Harden as that top-tier 1A guy anymore. I saw it most of last season in Brooklyn. He's just not the same player. There are moments where he looks like his old self. There are other moments where he looks completely checked out, and he's going to get you 10 points a game. Embiid is that good. He can absolutely win you a series or two, but in the end, it's Boston, Milwaukee, and everyone else if they're healthy.
Ben Simmons, anything normal about him?
Ben Simmons believes still that he is the player that we saw for so long in Philly, Damon. He's not that player anymore. Can he get back to being that guy? I wouldn't bet on it, but when you show that type of talent, I guess it's always within you to find it again. There are way, way too many times when you watch Ben Simmons' tenure as a Net where he has little to no impact on the game. It's going to get worse going into March and April and into the postseason because they're not going to be able to play him in the games because he wants no part of going to the free throw line. Honestly, guys, it's sad to watch a player who showed as much talent as Simmons did to come back down to a level where he's at now. You watch him and you shake your head because he's not looking at the rim. I think this is another case study of there is much more than what meets the eye than what you see in a basketball game. Something is going on there, and you'd hope he's still 25, 26 years old. He's got time to figure it out, but he is not close to the same player, and the Nets are going to pay the price for that and making that deal in the next couple years, because he's still under contract for 2 more years after this one.
Our pal Nick Ferdell, did you pass along the note to the cameraman to get the thing shoot you down a little bit more? Because I'm seeing better camera angles on you from sidelines.
I've been going into that studio all the time, and I'm telling him just keep it chest up. Keep that camera up. I'm doing the best I can not to eat cheeseburgers at 2 a.m. It's amazing what can happen when you do that.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
Great to see you, man. Thanks for coming on in. We miss you out here. You're doing a hell of a job for ESPN. They're lucky to have you. Maybe we're lucky to get you back someday.
I miss you guys, too, and I can't wait to see you in a few more months.
Niners, Eagles, got a prediction?
It's
got
to be the Niners. Come on now.
There it is. He knows where his
Suck
bread
up.
He
it's
knows where his bread
be the
butter.
Niners.
Get out. Yeah, he's going to do a Philadelphia radio hit tomorrow and be like, let me tell you about these Eagles. These birds, I love them.
Yeah, he's a known hypocrite from way back.
Uh-huh.
Tell Kate Scott we said hello when you get out there.
You got it.
There
you
he is.
It.
Our man Nick Friedell here on 95.7 The Game. One of the best. Oh, could you ask Nick real quick, how tall is Kyrie really? He's listed at 6'2". There's no chance.
He's like 5'10".
There you go. Maybe he's got lifts in his
Breaking
shoes.
News. That's huge.
5'10", man. That's a generous, generous media guy going up to 6'2". Thanks so much to our good friend Nick Friedell joining us here on 95.7 The Game in studio. Ray, wave goodbye.
Oh, I'll wave goodbye. You just won't get full cooperation from my hand.
Not all digits. The one digit goodbye. The one digit goodbye. There he is. The best laugh in sports talk radio. Nick Friedell. Sounds a little bit like a villain on his way out, but that's why we like him.
Oh, he sounds like a drunken Santa.
It is tough to look at the Warriors and say, what's the one move? What's the one move they could make? And I guess, here, you want the tough question for Steve Kerr? I think I've come up with it. When we do have him on this week, I think the question is, hey, if there isn't going to be a trade, and the season, you know, it's not tracking to go where you really want it to go, isn't it already kind of about making sure next season is better than this? And the only way for that to happen is by sinking or swimming with your young guys, regardless of outcome, regardless of performance. Some guys are going to need to be given a longer leash to make the mistakes to get them ready to go next year. Because if you're not trading anyone away, this means this is the team this year and next year, so you might as well start running those rookies out there even when they're letting you down.
Well, first of all, that's not a Steve Kerr question. It's a Bob Myers question. Secondly, I think the way they've played does not give you a lot of hope that this group of young guys is indeed the future. Maybe you get...
Give me Kuminga. Give me Patrick Patrick Baldwin. Thank you very much. I'm still on the...
What have you seen from Baldwin that makes you think anything one way or another?
Yeah, no, well, that's the thing. I don't know enough. I need to know something about him. What do you got there?
Well, I think if they had...
I like him more than Anthony Lamb.
See, well, okay.
I don't know, though.
But my point is, if they had shown something, you'd have seen them by now. Because Steve Kerr is not so hidebound that he won't give minutes to guys who earn them. He certainly did that for Kuminga earlier in the year.
He's got a short leash on rookies and young guys, though. He really
But
does.
It's now... Third year on Weissman, second year on Kuminga. I don't think this is about a Kerr choice. I have a feeling that maybe they're not going to get the value they thought out of that group, which was the great risk of doing the two-track timeline in the first place. Because if you're wrong on that, you've needlessly truncated your window with the proven veterans who are still performing very well to no good end. And I think there is a point at which they're going to have to cut bait on those guys. Not by
That's
showing,
what I'm saying. It's time to fish.
What I'm saying is, maybe it's not time to fish. Maybe they've already seen what the fish is like, and they've decided they're going to go back to a more keto diet.
Oh, boy. Look at Ray. Using nutritional metaphors. You got to love that here on the radio. Welcome, boys and girls, to your 5 o'clock hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines.
You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.